Bible to Acts chapter 1. Now you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. One of our games last night at the banquet was like minds, seeing how like-minded spouses are. And one of the categories, you gave about 15 seconds to write down as many things as you could think of individually, husband and wife, writing them down. Things like things that ladies are familiar with, like brands of motor oil. Amen. Things that fellows are familiar with, like brands of laundry detergent, things that babies wear, that type of thing. And one of the things was books of the Bible. Go, write as many as you can, 15 seconds. Here you got a husband starts in the Old Testament. Here his wife starts in the New Testament. Amen. And when they get all done, they don't have any answers the same. None at all. Not like-minded at all. But then we're in the New Testament today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, book of Acts, chapter 1. Let's stand together. Verse number 6. 6, 7, 8, and 9 is our text. 6, 7. Let's just do 6, 7, and 8 for sake of time this morning. That's really as far as we'll go. Let's read these responsively. Join me on verse 7, please. Our Bible says, "When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Let's pray together before a song. And dear Father, we thank you for this passage in the book. It's quite a commission. It's all we can handle, really. If we work together as a church body, we might can get close to accomplishing it. It's ever out there in front of us. It never needs to be taken off the front burner. And I pray that you'll help me today to deliver the burden. And Lord, begin to work in our hearts for this year's missions conference, looking through your eyes. How do you view the world, dear God? Help us to see it the way you do. Speak to us today. Bless the song, singer, and message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Poverty. There are people in this world that don't know Christ. They will die, and what will happen then? Don't say, I don't care, don't send me. I want to stay at home. Don't say, I don't care, don't send me. I'm cozy right here.
Caleb, for that good song, setting the tone for these next several important days. I was thinking as they were singing, If every child of God would just willingly give themselves, there would be no shortage of laborers. There'd be no shortage of money if we'd all just give ourselves. That's what Paul told the Corinthian church. Give yourself first. First, give your own selves to the Lord. That's what this is all about. It's not just about my pocketbook. It's about my life. I don't know about you, but every missions conference, I battle this thing. Stay in the States. Go to the field. Everyone. I believe I'm where God wants me to be. I don't believe God will send me to the mission field, this missions conference. But if He calls, I'm ready. And I mean that. If He calls, I'm at His disposal. Amen. And every child of God should have that attitude. Amen. There'd be no shortage of laborers. There'd be no shortage of money to send them. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, the mission and the method. The mission and the method out of Acts chapter 1. Use your Bible. We're going to go to several places today. You'll need it. Let me preface the message this morning by saying to all the visitors in our service today, some of the message this morning will concern money and giving to missions. I understand I figured we'd have some visitors here this morning. And you just have to understand this is where we are in the life of our church right now. I must prepare, do the best I can through the Spirit of God's help to prepare our church for this upcoming missions conference. And I'm not pointing at you and singling, pointing you out, saying you've got to get involved financially. I'm not saying that at all. I preach a Bible-based message to the membership this morning, and I hope that you'll enjoy it, learn from it, something about the mission and the method. Let's pray together. Thank you, dear Father, for your goodness to us. Thank you for that good song. And I pray, God, that we would not have the attitude, don't call me, don't send me. I'm comfortable. I'm in my comfort zone. Lord, may we make ourselves willing and at Thy disposal. And I pray that these next 10 days would be so important. I know they're important. And I pray that they would be, Lord, powerful days in our own life, in the life of this church, for the cause of Christ and the cause of people dying and going to hell around the world. May it be, Lord, a good meeting. And may you begin it this morning. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. After Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that He showed Himself alive for 40 days to different groups of people. Some of those groups were small in number, sometimes as few as one person. Other times they were large groups. One group was over 500 in number. Really? A person has to be a complete fool to deny the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ, because there were so many eyewitnesses that Jesus rose from the dead and was alive. Okay? Now, the passage we're looking at today tells us about the very end of those 40 days. We come to the end of those 40 days. The 12 disciples and several others, actually 11 now, and several others, were with Him. And the Bible says that Jesus took them out to the Mount of Olives. And when they got to the Mount of Olives, in verse 6, they asked Jesus the question, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, Jesus, now that Your death, burial, and resurrection is over and done with, is it now time for You to set up the kingdom of Israel and rule and reign on Your throne? And Jesus answered in verse 7, He said, folks, He said, that decision is in the hands of the Father only. I don't have any decision making in that process. I'm not involved in that process at all. That decision rests in the hands of God the Father. And then verse 8, He says, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto Me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And then look at verse 9. When He had spoken these things while they beheld, He was taken up, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. What does that make verse 8? Yeah, somebody said it. It makes verse 8 His last words. His last words to any group of people. Now, He spoke to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and everybody could hear it. But here it is, verse 8, Acts chapter 1. It is His last words before He was taken up, His ascension into heaven. These are the last words of Jesus Christ. And can I say to us this morning, His last words should be the church's first priority. His last words should be the church's first priority. Let me ask you a question. If you got a dad or a mom, grandma or grandpa, lying on their deathbed, and they with fainting life and breath and gasping for every breath, if they ask you or give you one last command or ask you one last request, and then they're taken in death, how quick are you to tend to that last request? How important is that last command to you? How important are those last words? His last words ought to be the church's primary concern. I don't think that's what these disciples were interested in, just like people today. These disciples were interested in prophecy. They weren't interested in work. They weren't interested in being a foot soldier for Jesus and taking the message of salvation to those around the world. But let me tell you something, that's what Jesus was interested in. Amen. And brother, if we advertised a conference on prophecy, you'd have so many folks pour in here. Everybody's so on prophecy this and prophecy that and what's out there in the future. Let me tell you, the main concern of Jesus Christ about was not what's going to happen in the future. The main concern of Jesus Christ is that folks are going to die and go to hell and spend an eternity there in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever if they don't get saved. That was the primary concern of Jesus Christ. It's not the only thing in the Christian life, but it is the main thing. Don't ever forget that. And if you're an honest Christian and you read the Gospels in the New Testament, you have to agree with that. The main thing is the salvation of souls. Reaching people with the message of Jesus Christ. Witnesses for Jesus Christ should go everywhere, he said, unto the uttermost part of the earth with the message of salvation. Now look at me, church. This is Faith Baptist Church's Great Commission. Right here. This is our Great Commission. Start in our Jerusalem, which is the Kankakee River Valley area. And then go to our Judea, which is the United States of America. And then go to Samaria, which is the Western Hemisphere of our world. And then don't stop there. Go to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is Faith Baptist Church's Great Commission. And we must make it our primary concern. I want you to see an interesting word in verse number 8 this morning. It's a small word, a four-letter word. Look at it. It is the word both. Do you see that? B-O-T-H. Jesus said, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let me get a little English with you this morning. The word both is an enclitic particle. An enclitic particle. Well, you say, what's that? That's how I had to go to the dictionary myself and look that up, okay? Enclitic particle is a word which shows connection and addition. In other words, it takes what comes before it and connects and adds to that which comes behind or after it. Now look at what he said before the word both. Both. He said, ye shall receive power. The Holy Ghost has come upon me, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both. So it connects this thing of being a witness for Jesus Christ with what follows. Being a witness both in Jerusalem, add to that Judea, add to that Samaria, add to that the uttermost parts of the earth. Are you with me this morning? This is what this verse is teaching here. If I'll let Austin, if you will, help me this morning. Buddy, stand right up here, this boy right here. All right, Austin Heyman is going to represent Faith Baptist Church and Jerusalem, Kankakee River Valley area. Faith Baptist Church has a great commission to take the message of salvation to as many people as we can talk to in the Kankakee River Valley area. It's 110,000 in Kankakee County. But that doesn't stop us from going to Will County and wherever the other counties, surrounding counties, okay, and taking Iroquois County and taking the message of salvation there. We're to be witnessing right here in our Jerusalem. Come on, Brother Curtis. But then we're not supposed to stop there. Faith Baptist Church has a responsibility to take the gospel to our Judea. That would be the United States of America. That would be Iowa. That would be Michigan. That would be Indiana. That would be out in California. That would be up in Maine. That would be down in Florida. We have a commission to take the Word of God to our America, okay? Nicholas, can you slip through here? Let me use you this morning, okay? These boys will come out and help me here. Then we're not supposed to stop there. We're supposed to add to that, connect it here now to Samaria, which is the Western Hemisphere, Canada, and Central America, and Mexico, and all those countries down in South America. We're supposed to add to it, and we're not supposed to stop there. If I could this morning, Jeremy, let me use you. We'll let Jeremy, it's good to come back here and talk to you folks, amen, to the uttermost parts of the earth, okay? Now look, wait a minute, folks. Some people have the idea that we do everything we can here, and then we stop and we go to America. And once we've done everything we can in America, then we stop and we go to the Western Hemisphere, and then we stop and then we go to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's not what that verse is teaching. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that Faith Baptist Church has a responsibility to be a witness in Jerusalem, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth, all at the same time. That's what that verse is teaching. Everybody, you know, the eggheads like all that exegesis stuff and all that stuff and everything. And that's what that verse is teaching. Search it out. That's what it's teaching. You're a witness here, here, here. This is our commission. Faith Baptist Church, let me tell you what a lot of churches do. A lot of churches get real interested in reaching Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, but they're not interested in showing up on Tuesday night or Saturday morning or Thursday afternoon or Tuesday afternoon to reach their own area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you what that is. First of all, that's disobedience. I didn't expect to get many amens off that, but that's what it is. That's disobedience. And it also ensures that the church will eventually die. Because you got to have new blood coming in. You got to reach people where you live. But you don't stop there. You take the gospel message to here, here, here. Thank you, boys. Have a seat. I appreciate that. I don't think they always enjoy that, but they help me with it. That's a blessing. And that's what that verse means. It means both. It means in all of these places at the same time. You see, to cease being a witness at home is to break the command that Jesus gave us. To cease to be a witness in the United States of America is to break the command that Jesus gave us. To cease being a witness in the Western Hemisphere is to break the command that Jesus gave us. To cease being a witness in the uttermost part of the earth is to break the command that Jesus gave us. We must be obedient to His commission. His last words must be our first priority. That's why we have a missions conference. That's why we have it every year. And we'll continue to have it every year. The only way we can carry out this command is to send missionaries to the places we cannot go. Look at me, folks. Look at you. I'm in a body. You're in a body. We are limited to being in one place at one time. And for those of us in this room, most of us, that place is here in the Kankakee River Valley area. If we're going to get to America, we have to send somebody. If we're going to get to the Western Hemisphere, we have to send somebody. If we're going to get to the uttermost parts of the earth, we have to send somebody. If we're going to make the message of Jesus, His last message, our first concern. Are you with me this morning? I know this is old stuff to some of you, but it's plain Word of God. Plain Bible this morning. Now, you say, well, Pastor, then why doesn't each church just pick one country around the world and be responsible to send a family to that country and care for that family? Well, for a couple of reasons. What if something happened to that church? Do churches last forever? How would you like to base your livelihood on one church's support? Huh? What if that church had a split? What if their offerings were 40% of what they were the year before? Hey, that happens, folks. Amen. That happens. Now, that's not the way to do it. Plus, we have a commission to take the gospel to the countries represented by the flags in this room this morning. And these aren't all the flags of the countries in the world. There's a bunch of them up here. But we have a commission to have a gospel witness to Australia. We have a commission to have a gospel witness to Ghana. We have a commission to have a gospel witness in the country of Argentina. Faith Baptist Church, yeah, you know what? Ideally, Faith Baptist Church should have a voice in every part of the world. So when are we done? We're not there yet, are we, church? And we're off to a pretty good start. But we're not there yet. We support 150-something missionaries, and that's wonderful, but we have sometimes two or three in the same country. Ideally speaking, we are supposed to be involved in sending the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. And I'm thankful that we're going to be able to take part in sending one 9,800 miles away to the island of Madagascar in just a little while. I'm glad we had that opportunity. That gives us another voice in another country. Amen. That's our mission. That's our mission. That's our mission. I'm sorry if you don't agree with it. I don't know how you can deny it. These are the last words that Jesus gave before He left for heaven. His last message should be our primary concern. Now, our method. How are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? How are we going to send these missionaries out to these countries in the uttermost part of the earth? How are we going to send them to Canada, Mexico, Central America, South America, Argentina, Bolivia? How are we going to do it, church? How are we going to send these missionaries? Just pass the plate and everybody just kind of, throw in what they want to. You know how long that would work? You got to have a plan. You got to have an organized effort. And our method is called faith promise giving. And faith promise giving is a proven method that has been used by churches over and over and over again throughout history to send missionaries to the uttermost part of the earth with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith promise works. It's worked here. It works in other churches. It'll continue to work here if we work it. Every member of this church should be praying about what God wants you and me to do in the area of giving to send missionaries. This is not robbing from my tithe a percentage to give to a missionary. The tithe is set and settled. Faith Promise Missions is giving above and beyond that tithe so the gospel can be taken to the countries around the world. I make no apology for preaching that. As long as the cause of Christ and this church is alive, it's going to take money. Make no apology for that. It's called Faith Promise Missions Giving. Listen very carefully. Let me make something real clear this morning. New Testament Christianity involves believing right. It also involves belonging right. And it also involves behaving right. You know what I get weary of? I get weary of people who claim to be great students of the Bible. They're always in search of some deep, hidden truth. And usually the truth is so deep and so hidden, it's not in the Bible. And that's the truth. It's so deep and so hidden, they can't find it. So they take context, scripture out of context, make all these things up. All this energy channeled into knowledge. And talking about being, and all excited about what they know, what I know. But it hasn't affected their behavior one bit. Now, one way New Testament Christianity affects you is in the area of giving. Being a born-again child of God does involve believing right, but it doesn't stop there, friend. It doesn't stop in your head. It moves through you, and it affects your behavior. It affects your will. It affects your spirit, and it ends up with you living life like this instead of like this. That's what New Testament Christianity does. Now, it takes a while to get us to this place. Because we're born into life like this. Clenching our fists and getting everything we can. That's the symptom. That's the result of that old nature, Adamic nature that's without God and without Christ. And it takes 20 years of being saved and Bible teaching and the grace of God working in our lives to get us to live like this. I don't care how much you talk about knowing about the Bible. If grace of God, the grace of God hasn't worked in your life to get you to this point yet, you've got a ways to go. I'm not interested in what you know. How are you living? How has the Bible changed you? How has the Bible affected your life? How has it affected your will? How has it affected your spirit? Is the life of Christ being lived through us? That's the question. Christ is in us. His life needs to be lived through us. That's what grace does. It changes us. It makes us behave different. It turns a selfish person into an unselfish person. That's what it does. Sure. What happens with the grace of God when it gets effective in your life? Next Sunday morning, these missionary families will be here. And on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, they'll be speaking and giving their burden and showing their presentations. And Brian Sharp and I hope the conference will touch your head. I hope it will do more than that. I hope it will touch your heart. And I hope it'll do more than that. I hope it'll touch your hand. Because that's what the grace of God does. It doesn't stop at your head. It doesn't stop at your heart. Boy, I really would like to because I feel the burden of that, but I just can't. No, the grace of God affects your head, your heart, and it affects your hand. Amen, Brother Angel. That's good preaching. Even if everybody gets cold and climbed up on a Sunday morning talking about giving in missions conference. All right. I came prepared to do my own amen in this morning if I had to. Amen. Give you ladies permission to say amen this morning. Amen. Now, why should you give to Faith Promise Missions? Why should you give? Why should I give to Faith Promise Missions? Why should I? This is our mission, folks. Our mission is to get the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. We've got to have a method. How are we going to do it? I say, well, show me where giving to missionaries is in the Bible. Come back tonight. Doesn't scare me, brother. Come back tonight. All I got to do is read it. And you can sit there and take your penknife and cut it out if you want to. But it's in the book. Given so missionaries can take the message of salvation to the world is in this book right here. In it. Amen and amen. Now, the method and the mission. The mission and the method. Now, why should I give the faith promise? Why should you give the faith promise? Number one, to help our church carry out its mission. I've already talked about that. I'm not going to go into it. To help our church carry out its mission. We got a mission to carry out. Get the gospel to the world. You say, oh, Brother Angel, I thought this church thing was all about me. You know, me coming with my wife and my kids and my family and you doing something for me and me getting the blessing and me getting this and me. I thought it was all about me. Where'd you get that? It's all about what I need. And I need to get something. Where'd you get that? That doesn't sound like New Testament Christianity to me. It sounds like New Testament Christianity to me is what can I do to help others? What can I do to lift the fallen? What can I do to encourage the discouraged? What can I do to strengthen the weak? What can I do to get the message of salvation that'll keep people out of a burning hell? What can I do to get the message of salvation to that needy person? What can I do? Huh? I need to carry out the mission. Help the church carry out its mission. Enough on that one. Number two. Let me get you over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 1. Why should I give the Faith Promise Missions? Why should you? Number two, to help you grow in the grace of giving. I need help in the grace of giving. I need help growing in that area. So do you. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Because we're all made out of the same stuff. Make all we can and can all we get. That's what we're made of. Don't look pious at me. We want for us. I want this. How do I get like this? It's called growing in grace. Look at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. Grace. He's starting off this chapter talking about grace. Look at in verse number 2. How then in a great trial of affliction in the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. It's talking about giving. Verse 4. Praying with us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. He's talking about grace. And he's talking about giving. Look at verse number 6. Chapter 8, verse number 6. Insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Look at verse number 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, watch this next phrase. See that ye abound in this grace also. What grace is he talking about? He's talking about the grace of giving. He started out in verse number 1. Talking about grace giving. See to it that ye abound in this grace. You see, God wants us to grow in our giving. He wants us to grow not only in what we know about the Bible and being a witness and a testimony and learning about the Word of God. He wants it to affect our behavior. He wants it to change us. And I'm excited about this year's missions conference. I'm excited because Brian Sharp is going to come in, and the sessions that he's preaching and teaching, he is going to deal with this matter of making it so that you and I have the money to give to missions. So many of God's people want to give, but because of poor or unwise financial practices, they are unable to give. Things are so tight, they can't give. Now, the preacher can preach these blue in the face, and the missionary can weep tears and run down the cheeks, and you can leave with a great burden for reaching the world and go home and just be miserable. Because you want to give, but I'll say it again. Been in a large church, and the pastor says the average couple in his church is $20,000 in debt, credit card debt. He said, that doesn't happen. I had to help a person who came here some years ago with to our church, joined our church, and the more I got to know about him and got to trying to help him, 5 credit cards maxed out. When you live like that, folks, you don't have a dime for anything. That's what Brian Sharp's going to do. He's going to teach us from the Bible, teach us practical things, how to get to the place in our lives financially, and a lot of people are already that way here. I understand that. Where you can, when the preacher says it's time for Fish Missions Conference, man, let's give the faith promise. You can look and you can say, you know what? I've got $12 a week to give. $12 a week supports one missionary family for $50 a month. Yeah. You can put a missionary on the field for $12 a week. But some folks don't have $12. And we're going to learn some things that will help you free up that money to be able to give. You see, it'll take work. But that's what God wants. He wants us to work at the grace of giving. You start off small and you work at it 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 until you're shocked. Grow in the grace of giving. Some of God's people are in that situation. You're just so squeezed. That the missions conference really is not enjoyable because it's like, Others are better. Or I should say flip side of the coin. Others give, and maybe they could give more. But when it all adds up, it's a tip. And I thought about that this week. Sometimes when we're preaching about greediness, we say, hey, folks, don't just tip God. But the last time I was in a restaurant, I think the going rate for a tip was 17%. Is that what you leave on the table? Please tell me you leave a tip. Please tell me you don't leave a gospel tract from Faith Baptist Church. That's a horrible witness. I'm not going to leave you a tip, but here's a gospel tract. Hey, don't help us, folks. If you're going to leave a gospel tract, leave 20%. That'll send the message. Are you with me? Amen. Sure. 17%, though, is generally accepted as a tip. Look, there are people who make $1,000 a week, $1,200 a week, $15 a week, and give $10 or $20 to missions. Let me tell you what that is. That's a sorry tip. Amen, Brother Angel. If you have to amen it yourself, you will. $10 out of $1,200 to missions? A tip? Sometimes it's good to be quiet, isn't it? Look, the truth of the matter is a tip would be an improvement. Yeah. You see, some of God's people, man, look, we're so in pursuit of our wants and our greeds, we throw a little cash towards missionaries to salve our conscience. But it amounts to less than a tip. You know what? Several years ago I read, the average American Christian spends more on food and care for their animals than they give to missionaries. Last time I checked, animals were temporary. The soul of a person is never dying. It's eternal. You say you're against animals? No. I love to hunt. The more the better. Maybe one of these days they'll have open season on cats. Amen. I'm just teasing. I'm just teasing. Like that visit I made yesterday, the whole time I was there, a cat was rubbing up and down my leg, buddy. You don't think it takes grace to make a soul-winning visit? Leave the house fur all over your pant leg. I got to be careful. Some of you have cats. That's great. I'm glad you have them. Amen. Listen to me very carefully. My wife has informed me. She's in the balcony today. They were singing up for teen church. My wife has informed me that about one or two more children leave the nest and we're getting a house dog. We'll see who wins this one, amen. Look, folks, I'm not against animals, but I don't want to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and face Jesus, with a record of spending more money to put food in an animal's belly than I sent for a missionary to take the message of salvation to somebody that needs it. Ouch. Point three. May God help us to grow in the grace of giving. Number three, why should I give to missionaries? To help credit fruit to your account. Philippians 4:17, Paul said, it's not that I desire the gift. He said, I desire to send fruit to your account. Where did I put that? Here we go. Listen, here's two of the more familiar missionaries that we support, Kevin Wynn. You talk about I wish you could meet both these guys. That's a great idea. I need to get both these guys at our conference at the same time. And it would never be the same. Not because they're so spiritual. They're crazy. They're nuts. Here's Kevin Wynn and Rick Martin. They're nuts. They're crazy. Kevin Wynn's down in Mexico City. They had Bible clubs down there. 147,870 kids attended those Bible clubs. 56,610 were saved. One third of those 56,610 were adults. That Sunday morning, they had over 6,500 in attendance in Mexico City. He's winning so many people to Christ down there, the Catholics hate his guts. Here's Rick Martin over in the Philippines. I've always felt the main ministry the Lord have us to do is start churches through training men and Bible schools. The Lord is blessing our efforts. They have 249 of their pastors who have 249 pastors from their Bible college have institutes where they're training men. As best as they can tell, 880 men are being trained in the Philippine Islands right now. That's Filipinos. 880. Excuse me, folks, that's more than most of the Bible colleges in the States. Through their last count, 640 churches have been started. Now, if you're giving to missions here at Faith Baptist Church, that's going on your record. I like that. But Paul said in Philippians 4, it puts fruit on your account. Number 4, I'm done. You still in 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Look at verse number 8. Why should I give to Faith Promise Missions? To help prove your love for Jesus Christ. Look at what he said. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You know how you prove if you love Jesus Christ? You can give without loving. But you cannot love without giving. Remember the kid you brought the candy bar from at the grocery store? What school was he from? What grade was he in? You don't remember. Because you saw the little guy there with the toothless smile, tow-headed boy or little curly-haired girl. You had a dollar close by in your purse or your wallet, so you just reached in your pocket to hand him a dollar and grabbed a candy bar. You gave him a dollar, but there was no love there. Just kindness. Huh? So you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. When you love somebody and you truly love them sincerely, you give and you're happy to give. That's what the Bible said. Paul said, you know what? One thing about this giving, it proves that you're sincere about your love to Christ. Oh, I love Jesus. I just love Jesus. I just love Jesus. I just love Him, love Him. I just love Him. According to that, something's wrong with your theology or something's wrong with this Bible. I think I'll take the Bible. Did God not establish this principle first? Didn't He establish it first? You can't love without giving. What do you mean? For God so loved the world that He gave. Did Jesus not carry this principle out in His life? John 15:13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would what? Lay down his life. What did Jesus do on the cross, folks? Gave His life. So you and I wouldn't have to die and go to hell. I don't believe that stuff about heaven and hell anyway. Well, about 3 seconds after your last breath, you'll regret you made that statement. He loved us enough to give His life for us. And I can prove that I love Him by giving a few dollars a week to send a missionary to Ghana. We're no better than those people over there. They may have a different skin color. They may not have what we have in this. But what's inside that person is the same as what's inside me and you. A living, ever-living, non-dying soul. They deserve a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't want to stop our Jerusalem witness. Don't want to stop that. Maybe you're here this morning because somebody invited you to come to church. Do you know for sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Have you ever been born again? Those are sincere questions, and they're fair questions because Jesus talked about both. If you're not sure that you're saved, my friend, Jesus gave His life for you. And when He did that, He wasn't just having a good time. He's proving that He loves you. Enough to give His life in a gruesome, horrible death so you could go to heaven. If you don't know that you're saved, you ought to come to Christ and receive Him as your personal Savior. Get that matter settled. If you are saved, Pastor, should I be involved in faith promise giving? Yes, you should. How much? That's for you to decide. That's for you to decide. You're not going to get a letter from us saying XX. Nope. But you should, because we have a mission. And that's our method. And it works. ~1,200 adult Mexican people going to heaven because an American missionary went down there with the message of Christ. We had a small part in that. Isn't that a blessing? Glory to God. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Would you be honest with me for just a moment this morning, everybody, please? I'm not trying to trick you. I have no trick questions. I have no games to play at this point in the service. Who's here would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm sure of it. Let me ask you, please, to be honest this morning. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to yourself. I know that I'm saved. If you can say that in all honesty, would you raise your hand, please, all over this room? Thank you. Take your hand down. I appreciate your honesty. Somebody here this morning, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I died right down. I don't know where I'd spend eternity. Please pray for me. I would love to pray for you, sir. Love to pray for you, ma'am. Love to pray for you, young person. I will not call your name. I may not know your name. She said, Brother Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. Put it right up in the air. Take it right back down. Would you do that while we wait? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure if I died right now that I'd go to heaven. It concerns me. Pray for me. If you've been saved, you've never been baptized in deep water since you've been saved. And you came to follow the Lord in believer's baptism this morning. Now is the time for you to come. If you didn't come prepared to get baptized, maybe you ought to have somebody talk to you about it. It's the first step of obedience after you get saved. It's to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. If you came to be baptized this morning, you come now while we wait. And if you'd like to know about that, you come and let somebody talk to you about it. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed up. You've been saved and baptized. You've been contemplating joining the church and you'd like to do that this morning. You've talked with us about it during the invitation. You be sure and come. I wonder who's here this morning. Say, Pastor, I'm a member of Faith Baptist Church. I've either been giving the faith promise or I haven't. Doesn't matter what I've been doing in the past. This is a new year, a new day, a new conference, and I'm willing to present myself as a servant in the area of giving the faith promise missions. Pray for me this year as I seek the Lord's will about my giving. Would you raise your hand, please, all over the auditorium? I don't care if you've been giving for 50 years. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Anybody else join that number? God bless you. Thank you. Take your hands down. I appreciate it. Let's do the best we can, folks. Let's do what God wants us to do. Let's have a great conference. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Father, I pray that you'll please bless this invitation. Speak to our hearts. If there's one here not saved, I pray that they'll get saved. Lord, I pray that they need to be baptized, that they will. Lord, I pray that you'll bless these that raise the hand. Bless us as we prepare for this conference in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Please, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. Ladies, play us a song of invitation as they play. Would you come this morning as we prepare for baptism? Would you come? You raise your hand. Would you give yourself to the Lord afresh in a new year, new Sunday, new conference, new time, new missionaries, new opportunities? Would you come? Would you come this morning? Would you come? We have a mission to take the gospel to the world. We have a method. Faith promise given. Please, just for a moment.